DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, a number of public sector unions have called on the government to engage with them and offer RTE-style multi-annual funding to their sectors as well. This is probably a bit unsurprising in the wake of what has happened, a massive amount of money being thrown at RTE. And Cormac Lucy, economics columnist with the Sunday Times Ireland, joins us this morning. Cormac, first of all, are you surprised by this kind of handout sort of thing that's happening, that as in they're putting their hands out kind of thing happening from other public sector unions? And do you think it's a good idea?
No. You know, I'm not surprised that public sector unions, seeing the government give way in one area, are rushing in the hope that they can persuade the government to give in their area. I don't think the government should give way to those requests, mainly because I don't think they should have given way to RTE with its requests.
Okay.
So I think that the whole thing is built on a foundation of a mistaken decision.
Okay, because these other unions, what they're saying is there is now a precedent, that word is being used, for this kind of multi-annual funding, and if RTE can get it, why can't they? And I suppose if you're somebody in the health service, for example, you might think what you do is a little bit more important than what RTE does, and therefore why are they getting preferential treatment ahead of you? Do you see that point?
Well, I think it's a bit of a... There's also a degree to which this is a bit of a fictional argument. What the union seem to be looking for is an agreement on multi-year funding levels. But the notion that the government is going to fund the health services this year and cease funding them next year is a fiction. Funding for the health services next year and in the years following is going to be broadly in line with where it is now. So the notion that these services need the assurance today of particular amounts of money 2-3 years hence, I just don't see the point. The much more important point is that a recent study done for the Department of Health showed that over 5 years up to 2022, there had been roughly a 50% increase in resources, something like a 30% increase in headcount, and less than a 5% increase in procedures carried out. So there is a grotesque failure to manage productivity across the public service. And my worry is that the RTE decision is another masking of this. We're using money from multinationals to prop up inefficiencies in the public sector rather than do the hard work of tackling those inefficiencies and confronting people. Instead, we've got politicians running our national finances who want to smile and be nice at everybody rather than managers minding public monies with due care.
Okay, and what do you say, though, to people who work within the public sector who say, because of the nature of annual funding, which is a little different to multi-annual funding, obviously, the budget is managed peculiarly and inefficiently as a result of that? For example, you see it local authorities sometimes in November rushing around, doing up pavements all over the place and things like that don't necessarily need to be done because they want to spend their budget by the end of the year, because if they don't spend it, they won't get it again the next year. So they're actually spending money where it doesn't need to be. But if they had that guaranteed income over 3 years, they would actually manage their budgets in a more grown up, I suppose, and efficient manner, where they wouldn't be throwing money at things towards the latter half of the year just to get it spent.
Look, life is imperfect. Annual budgets are imperfect. Private sector organisations have annual budgets that may have surplus monies at the end of the year that management then seeks to spend in the same way as in the public sector. It's a necessary side effect of having a budgetary system in the first place, rather than something that can be easily fixed or something that will be magically made disappear if we have multi-year budgets. So the notion that multi-year budgets is going to lead to a reduction in public spending because it's going to lead to an end to this rush of public sector entities spending money at the end of the year, I think that's pretty fanciful.
Okay. And just Cormac, I take all your arguments on board, and many of them are probably very legitimate. But what would be the harm in multi-annual funding if, as you say, this year in the health service, for example, is going to be much of a muchness with next year and perhaps the year after that? What harm would it be in just giving, I suppose, the health service that guarantee?
Well, the first thing is it isn't a guarantee. It's just a planning figure. And if you look, say, at the Fiscal Advisory Council reports, they're projecting spending out, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. So the notion that there aren't multi-year financial plans in government is mistaken. There are multi-year financial plans in government. But just having the government commit to a certain figure and then have to come back in a year's time and say, well, actually, we can't give you quite as much as we had planned, that risks giving another weapon to privileged insiders in the public sector to beat the government over the head with, saying,
money. If the government or if the economy entered into a shock, if there was another Ukraine or another pandemic or something happening that would actually be a shock to our economy where we wouldn't, or foreign direct investment dried up in some way from the Americans,
exactly,
if there was a Trump presidency. If that happened and we'd made this commitment and could no longer meet that commitment, that would put the government on the back foot with public sector unions. Is that one of the reasons not
Correct.
To do this?
That's one of the reasons. And really, this whole debate is about privileged insiders in the public sector disposing of our monies to prop up inefficiency. And I just don't want to see that process expanded any further than it has gone with RTE. But if you look, say, at Virgin Television or yourselves in News Talk on the radio, you're operating with, in my mind, equivalent levels of output with a tiny fraction of the public spending that RTE is getting. And then secondly, there's the incentive effect that inefficiencies in RTE are being rewarded with increases in money. And I just think that is a horrendous signal to send generally and to the public service in particular.
Well, very last question. I'm sure there are people listening to the radio this morning who would be quite incensed by what you're saying, who work in the public sector, who feel that they are to the pin of their collar in terms of working. We know morale in RTE appears to be quite low on the campus, and that, you know, we hear quite regularly from people from RTE about how miserable they all are and how hard it is for them, and that they are, you know, working extremely hard. And people would say the same thing in other areas of the public sector, like the health service, for example, like teachers, you know, lots of areas of public sector, they genuinely feel and may well be working to their absolute maximum capacity. To hear them described as inefficient and being rewarded, I think a lot of people will be very upset. What do you say to that?
I think we need to make a distinction between individuals working in the public services and the structures that they operate within. And there are very many dedicated and patriotic people working in our public services. But the structures, systems and incentives under which they operate are catastrophic. Those health figures I cited earlier on, catastrophic. We're spending a far, far higher share of public spending on health than any other country in Europe, even though we still have a relatively young population. So we have grotesque inefficiencies, and the people to blame for that are the senior management in our public services. So I'm not having a go at people in lower management or middle management. I'm having a go at senior management. We have an ex-McKinsey consultant as our health minister. We have a former secretary general of the public spending control department as the secretary general in health. And yet our spending in health is completely out of control. So we have a fundamental problem of state incapacity. And we see it with the policing of our streets. We see it in the health services. It is a management problem. It is not an individual worker problem.
Look, thank you very much for joining us this morning. That is Cormac Lucy there, economics columnist with the Sunday Times Ireland. Let us know what you think.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.